And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
15. On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll discuss a long-awaited call-up and all of Monday's closer hijinks.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Michael Beller and Al Melchior here with you on Tuesday, August 3rd. Al, let's jump right in with some news that we've been waiting for a while now. The Angels have called up Joe Adell. Adell hitting .289 with 23 homers and 8 steals at AAA Salt Lake. Where are you interested? Are you interested everywhere?
I am interested everywhere, and this is a case where I'm not being put off by a disappointing debut, because, of course, Adell was up during the shortened 2020 season, didn't meet a lot of our expectations with all the hype coming, you know, with Adell and his arrival. But if you look, Michael, it's like clockwork. Every time he goes to a level, he really needs the second go-around at that level to really break out. So he did that in AAA this year, and I'm holding out hope that second time around in the major leagues, he's going to be much more the type of player that we were expecting.
Yeah, definitely in on Adell as well. Strikeouts could be an issue for him. They've been an issue in the minors, but if he's going to have strikeouts be a, quote, issue while hitting .289 with 23 homers and 8 steals, I think we can live with strikeouts. So looking at him across the board, Gerrit Cole will not pitch on Tuesday because he has tested positive for COVID-19. He is going to go on the IL. The Yankee starter against the Orioles is still TBD. Gio Urshela will join Gerrit Cole on the IL. Not the COVID IL, however, he has a hamstring injury. Christian Yelich could return as soon as Thursday, which is good, but his teammate Josh Hader was placed on the COVID-19 IL. And in a corresponding move, this one coming out of nowhere, a feel-good story, John Axford has rejoined the Brewers, traded for cash from the Blue Jays. Last pitched in the majors in 2018. He had been working as a TV analyst for the Jays. So Axford, just a fun story. He actually got right in the action yesterday for the Brewers, and we'll talk about that in a second here. Andrew McCutchen going to the IL because of knee inflammation. The Mariners activated Jake Fraley. He went 2-for-4 with his 8th steal of the season, so feeling good. Fraley, if he's available, is he, what, 15, 14 team mixers for you?
Yeah, I think so. Probably not 12 quite yet, but not unthinkable if he gets hot.
Jesus Luzardo made his Marlins debut on Monday against the Mets. You know, didn't really stand out in one way or the other. 5 innings pitched, gave up 3 runs on 4 hits, walked 3, struck out 5. This is someone who we expected a whole lot more from this season. Love the A's taking, or the Marlins, excuse me, taking a shot on him in the Starling Marte deal. Are you jumping back in now that he's back in a rotation?
I mean, I'm not like going out my 12 teamers and adding him just yet. Probably can't afford to wait too long on Luzardo, but yeah, I'm pretty excited. I thought this was a great deal for the Marlins, by the way, just in a non-fantasy note. But yeah, watching closely, adding him 14 teams and up right now if he's available.
All right, Dayton Moore was on the radio in Kansas City yesterday and said that looking ahead to 2022, the Royals can't count on Adalberto Mondesi to be an everyday player, may not play more than 100 games, and could have his workload restricted. Obviously, Mondesi has dealt with injuries, been the one through line of his career to this point. So that's something we'll have to consider next year when we're sitting down and drafting our teams. Chris Sale will make at least one more rehab start before rejoining the Red Sox, so keep an eye on that. And the Rangers have DFA'd David Dahl. Let's move on to the closer situation from Monday, and let's start out with John Axford. He did start the top of the ninth against Pittsburgh, loaded the bases, walked in a run, Brad Boxberger came in and cleaned things up to get a two-out save. Where do you think the Brewers go with Hader out? Is Boxberger the guy to get if you're looking for short-term saves?
I think it's probably a combination of him and Devin Williams, and both he and Williams had pitched in the previous two games, but then Williams had also pitched, I think, like four games back. So probably Boxberger just a little bit fresher than Williams for this one. But I wouldn't just also write Boxberger's appearance off as, you know, that it's just a matter of Williams being unavailable. I imagine that they'll both get their opportunities. And yeah, this wasn't really a high leverage spot for Axford. I don't think he'll be in that mix. So I think it is pretty much down to Williams and Boxberger. Hader is out.
Yeah, maybe you just keep Williams doing what he's doing with the run that he's been on, and obviously Williams not quite as gettable in fantasy leagues as Boxberger is. Spencer Patton comes in and gets his first career save against the Angels for the Rangers, so feels like we diagnosed that situation correctly in the wake of the Ian Kennedy trade. Jordan Romano pitched in the top of the ninth of a tie game against Cleveland. Brad Hand loses it in the 10th. It seems like no matter what the Blue Jays add, there's going to be something strange going on back there. So probably status quo for the time being, and we'll keep an eye on the next save opportunity that goes down in Toronto. Dylan Floro gets the first save in a post-Yimi Garcia world for the Marlins, this one coming against the Mets. So feeling like maybe Floro has the first shot, but still thinking that that's going to be a split situation likely between Floro and Bender. Gabe Klobisitz tried for a two-inning save against Phillies, put tying and go-ahead runs on in the ninth. Wander Suero came in, blew the save. Kyle Finnegan was unavailable in this game for the Nationals, so it is Kyle Finnegan's bullpen. One of those situations that maybe we're going to see a bit more of for Washington the rest of the way. Let's look at Monday's standouts here. Al Ty France gets us going 3-for-5 with his 11th homer and 24th double of the season. He is 21 for his last 64 with three homers. Ty France has been, you know, he's had these little boomlets of fantasy relevance this season. Are we in just another one of those, or is this something that feels a little bit more long-term?
I think this is a little bit more long-term, maybe not sustaining a 328 average rest of season, but I think that this to me looks more like the player that I was expecting to see earlier in the season than what we actually saw when France wasn't really hitting for average very much. So I think that's the thing that he brings to the table. I think the line that you see right now with 11 homers, you've got basically some middling power, some doubles power. But he's going to be able to hit for average, and where he hits in that Mariners lineup, he's going to be producing runs. So I think that's kind of profile that sometimes gets overlooked, but I think there could be a lot of value in Ty France from here on out.
Yeah, definitely a guy to take a look at. Amed Rosario also in that group, 3-for-4 on Monday, his 17th double and two steals to get him up to 11 at Toronto. This is really interesting, and I'm curious where you think Rosario stands for the rest of the season, because this is a guy who we thought we could be getting all season long, and it didn't quite click until more recently, but now we're seeing the guy that, you know, Cleveland thought they were acquiring way back when.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Rosario is just one of those players who's made it very difficult for us to really be confident with any sort of projection, because yeah, he's been up and down. And, you know, is there going to be power there? How much speed are we going to see? I'm still not clear exactly, but I think in that mix of skills that there's enough for him to be at least considered in 12-team leagues.
Some standout pitching performances from Monday. Let's start with Rosario's teammate Eli Morgan. 6 innings pitched, gave up just 2 runs on 5 hits, struck out 9 and walked 1 at the Blue Jays. That is a degree of difficulty matchup that Morgan is succeeding in. Is this a guy who's maybe putting himself on the stream radar for you at least?
He has with this start, certainly, because the last couple of starts before this were okay, and that's certainly a step up from his early starts, which weren't very good at all. So, yeah, I mean, he just seems to be making some steady progress here, and I don't feel like Morgan's a must stream next time out, but I think you put it just the right way, Michael. I think he's on the radar now.
Eric Lauer has been on that radar for quite a while, and he does it again, Al. 5 shutout innings, giving up 3 hits, striking out 3 against the Pirates. He seems to draw the Pirates quite a bit, and he takes advantage when he does. You made the point yesterday as well that his next 2 starts will come against these Pirates and a decimated Chicago Cubs team. So maybe if you did stream Eric Lauer yesterday, you want to keep him around. your team for these next two turns through the rotation. Chris Flexen, he proved us wrong again. He did have to dance around 7 hits and 2 walks and 6 and 2 thirds, but danced around him effectively, looking like Fred Astaire out there, just 2 runs allowed, 7 strikeouts against the Rays. I mean, I guess it's just time to say when on Chris Flexen, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a confusing one for me too. I had what felt like a pretty simple decision roll with him, which is start him at home or maybe really, really favorable matchups on the road. So this kind of messes with that algorithm a little bit for me. I'm probably going to stick with it for now, but it's a data point, and I realize that we don't have a lot of season left to be collecting data and just watching on the sidelines. But at least for now, that's where I'm at with him. And also notable in the fact that he pitched much, much better than Michael Wacha, who I'd been hyping for like a week. So may have to go back to the drawing board with Wacha. Might have just been one bad start for him. He had been on a nice run.
It's just this, how baseball goes sometimes. Chris Rodriguez gets a quality start for the Angels. 3 runs in 6 innings. 3 earned, excuse me. So not officially a quality start because he did give up an unearned run. But 3 earned runs in 6 innings. 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Is he someone who we are going to eventually talk about as someone who is on the stream radar?
I think so. I mean, this kind of came a little bit out of nowhere for me, just called up and I think definitely overshadowed by the Joe Adell news, stretched out as a starter. And, we've had a lot of people moving in and out of that Angels rotation. And with Andrew Haney out, there's now an opportunity here for Rodriguez. I'm not sure if he sticks when Alex Cobb comes back from his blister, but Jose Suarez hasn't been that great in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Maybe they put him back where he was a bit more successful in a long relief role. So this is definitely intriguing and time to make a move already in some deeper leagues.
And finally, Ranger Suarez goes to the rotation, but is basically the same pitcher that the Phillies have asked him to be this season. 3 shutout innings, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Maybe we see him get stretched out as he gets more and more starts under his belt. But you talked about it yesterday. If you're looking for a guy who can give you 3-4 quality innings every time out, Ranger Suarez maybe checks that box. Maybe what we were getting out of Colin McHugh a little earlier this season. And maybe we will get out of Colin McHugh later this week if he can stay on track and return from the IL over the weekend.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's move on to the streamers now. Al, I love this little note you put in the show notes. Let's party like it's 2014. Johnny Cueto versus Madison Bumgarner in the San Francisco and Arizona game. You can stream either side of that matchup potentially. Could also stream either side of Cubs-Rockies with Zach Davies and Kyle Freeland facing off against one another. Luis Patino gets the Mariners. Willie Peralta gets the Red Sox. Jose Suarez gets the Rangers. Adrian Hauser gets the Pirates. Where are you going with your stream dollar today?
I'm actually going with Kyle Freeland at home against the Cubs. I certainly like the matchup, and pretty much all of the Rocky starters have done okay at Coors Field. And I know I say this every single time. I don't understand it, but at some point, I feel like I don't have to. Well, we're 2/3 of the way into the season. You roll with it. Kyle Freeland's on a really, really nice run just in general. Home starts, road starts, doesn't seem to matter. I don't feel quite as confident about Zach Davies against the Rockies at home. I'd certainly like to start him if it were at Wrigley, but I'll pass on this one. And then beyond Freeland, definitely Luis Patino. He's a must add and must start if that's a possibility for you. And I do like Johnny Cueto against the Diamondbacks and Adrian Hauser against the Pirates. Both really nice matchups and pitchers who can certainly take advantage of them. Not as confident in Madison Bumgarner's ability, especially against a tough Giants lineup. And Jose Suarez, I guess I've left him out of here, talked about him just a few moments ago. That is a really nice matchup against the Rangers, but with so many really good options here, I think I'm not going to chance it with Suarez this time.
Yeah, we're definitely reading from the same book. Our pages are maybe just in slightly different order. I would probably get, if I had all these guys available, I think I would go Patino first, Cueto second, Freeland third, Hauser fourth, and probably pass on everyone else. So a good day if you're looking to stream plenty of options. And hey, maybe Al and I are wrong about Zach Davies, or Willie Peralta. So a lot of stream options sitting out there for you. I'm going to wrap things up for us here with a quick gambling spotlight. Al, a great series between the Astros and the Dodgers going on, and Lance McCullers and Walker Buehler are going to be facing off against one another on Tuesday night. The Dodgers, understandably, favorites, but minus 165, big favorites. Plus 140 are the Astros, and as good as Walker Buehler is, as great as the Dodgers are, you give me a team like Houston at plus 140 with a guy like McCullers on the mound who is liable to shut down any lineup he faces, that's something that I can get on board with. So BetMGM has this, again, as the Dodgers minus 165, the Astros plus 140. You're just not going to see a plus 140 next to the Houston Astros very often. I'm going to jump on while I can get it. We thank you for jumping on and joining us on this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that fun stuff. It's so much fun that I have to pound my computer chair along with it when I say it. Thank you for listening. Al and I back with you on Wednesday. Enjoy all the baseball later today.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.